Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
And welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program, everyone. James Edwards here with you alongside Bill Rowland, who is co-hosting with me for tonight's entirety, this Saturday evening, November 6th, as we broadcast to you live from the Council of Conservative Citizens Board of Directors meeting in Nashville, Tennessee. I am in hotel room 419, and we're having a party! Yeah! Now we're having a party with the live studio.
Now it begins.
That's right. Second hour it begins. It takes them an hour to get settled down here. But James Edwards and Bill Rowland here with you. As I mentioned, the marvels of modern technology at the top of the show. We are here in Nashville, Tennessee, room 419. And we are broadcasting remotely, not from our flagship station, AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, 1380, but from this very hotel room. And yet still, as we speak this very moment, the affiliate stations, the AM FM affiliate stations of Liberty News Radio are broadcasting this via satellite to their listeners in Portland, Oregon, and in Utah, and in Memphis, and in all ports of call around the country who carry the LNR stream. And so, Bill, tonight as we broadcast live from this hotel room, there's someone up in Oregon of all places driving around in their truck listening, and I tell you what, makes you glad you lived this long.
That's very true. And, of course, we got a great audience out here right now, and you know, the thing is that the whole purpose of this show is to bring up topics that generally you won't hear on normal radio. And here's Rohan Garcia Quintana, for instance, sitting right here.
Yeah, on the show 2 weeks ago, his last appearance.
All right, Rohan, come over here. He's going to scoot across. Oh, he's got his card.
Uh-oh. Read it.
Americans have had enough. Ain't that the truth? But, you know, Rohan is an interesting character because, as he says, he was born in Havana, raised in a savannah, and that makes him a full-blooded Confederate as far as we're concerned.
Well, I'm an American by citizenship, and I'm Southern by the grace of God.
Ah, beautiful statement! Yeah. Now, Ron.
Rowan is significant in for many different reasons, but particularly because of something that happened just this month.
Yes, I was I was labeled by the NAACP as one of the top races in the Tea Party movement.
And what did you do, pray tell, to earn that distinguished honor?
Joined the citizens of the board of directors of CFCC, the Council of Conservative Citizens.
But
I mean, essentially, that's what I have done. But essentially, I am proud to be one of them right-wing extremists, Bible thumper Christians. You name it. I'm a Ronald Reagan conservative. I worked for Ronald Reagan for 5 years. I am proud of that. I am proud to be a patriot. I am proud to believe in the Constitution of the United States. I'm proud to claim Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I guess, when you have a president who is a Muslim, and we don't know where he was born, and we don't know what kind of citizenship he has, we have become so politically correct. And I'm not. I'm sorry. I took the oath to become a United States citizen. I gave up any alliance and allegiance to any other country, including where I was made in Havana, Cuba. My parents are from Spain. My mother's from Barcelona. I'm proud of my Spanish heritage. Just because I celebrate my Spanish heritage and I distinguish myself from mestizos and mulatos, in Spanish, we don't have a problem with those words, actually. It's only in the United States that has become so politically correct that those are problems. And that's where we
are.
That's
right.
In the 1900s, when people came here from other countries, they were expected to become Americans and learn English. But today, we're so accommodating, and it's killing us. We're telling people, hey, don't worry, we'll print signs in 20 languages if we have to. Don't learn English. You don't have to become an American. Just keep celebrating your culture. And I will say this, ladies and gentlemen, I said, we're not a multicultural nation. We are a multi-heritage nation. And if you want to know the difference, multi-heritage is what you bring to the table. I bring Spanish heritage. Some people around the table may bring German heritage. You know, the blacks bring African heritage. But together, it has melted into what we call the American culture. And that's what we don't want to change. The new people coming here are either here to harm us, like the Arabs, the Muslims. They don't want to become any part of us. As a matter of fact, we're infidels, according to them. And then we have the people from south of the border, the Latin Americans who are mestizos. They're not Spanish. Some of them are illiterate in Spanish. But the thing is that they do not want to acculturate to us. They're just here to make money and send it back. They're sending back, and Mexicans are sending back about $20 billion. It's their third largest source of income. And, but yet you're draining jobs from the people. When they say that they're doing the jobs Americans don't want to do, I say finish that sentence. They don't want to do for sub-minimum wage and that's what they're doing. I mean, I know a lot of, people that have worked in those jobs that, quote, Americans don't want to do. They used to make $20 an hour, but they're paying the illegal aliens $8 million an hour. But there's more to it. Illegal alienism is not a single issue. It affects every part of our society. And if we're not careful, we will become Balkanized. We don't want multi languages. We want one language. English is a language that unites you. S. Dot.
Hey, hey, give him a round of applause, everybody. Is that kind of common sense talk from Roanne Garcia Quintana, who has been on this show numerous times, a member of the CFCC as we are, that got him labeled as public enemy number two the NAACP hit list? But Roanne, you know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, although you were calling in while we were in studio. Now that we're here face-to-face, let's recap the significance of that NAACP report, which absolutely fell flat. We got a minute till break.
The significance is that the NAACP should worry more about blacks killing blacks. You know, we don't hear that on the news, folks, and that's why we have an overrepresentation, quote-unquote, of blacks in prison. Blacks raping blacks. There's a lot of little girls 8-10 years old having babies. You don't hear that in the news.
Yeah. When I watched A Time to Kill, it was a different scenario. Anybody see that movie? 30 seconds.
All right. And then the last thing I want to say is the dropout rate of blacks is as high as 80% in some parts of the nation. And why doesn't the NAACP care about that? You know, instead of labeling people racist you know, they should work about their own.
Hey, that's Roanne Garcia Quintana, everybody, a great leader of the Tea Party movement of the Council of Conservative Citizens, and always a friend of the Political Cesspool Radio program. We'll be
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Misunderstood, baby. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please don't understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
The Political Cesspool Radio Program, the only syndicated paleoconservative talk radio program in the world, where you'll hear Pat Buchanan one week and a member of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons the next. I mean, that's what we give you here, and a lot of paleoconservative rhetoric in between. So anyway, we're here at the I'm looking at, you know, we could do that, Bill. I'm being very tempted to do a sing-along.
Sing-along.
You know, listen, karaoke is another one. I'm a great talk radio host, and I'm also pretty good at karaoke. And while I'm here in Nashville, Music City, we're in Music City, USA. Okay, we're in room 419, and we're overlooking the Opryland Hotel. And I tell you, I feel like singing tonight.
Self-evaluation is a dangerous thing, James. I'll tell you right now.
Well, be that as it may, we've got a live audience tonight in my hotel room. Yeah! And if you love it, all right, I don't know how much longer we're going to make it in this room before we get kicked out by management, but I was going to ask if you love the political cesspool, give us a big rebel yell, but they preempted it, and they gave us the rebel yell.
They did.
And we like
the rebel whistle.
That's right. Well, Bill, you know, another thing, most of what we cover here on the radio program is also documented with both facts and references on the Political Cesspool blog, thepoliticalcesspool.org. And one of the things we talked about this week was George W. Bush's worst moment. Now, he went on record at this. In fact, he made a very big deal about it. George W. Bush actually said the worst moment of his presidency was when a black rapper called him a racist. Kanye West, no less, who is, you know, notorious even by black rapper standards.
That would break my heart, James.
So every now and then you come across something that nearly makes you fall out of your chair. And I've been at this gig for, you know, going on 7 years now hosting radio. You think you see it all. You never see it all. And you have to read something like this 3 or 4 times to convince yourself that it's what you're actually seeing is what you're actually seeing. And this is one of those times. So George Bush, the low point of his presidency, the quote-unquote worst moment, it wasn't the nearly $1 trillion bailout he had to ask for after helping to engineer the diversity-driven mortgage crisis. You know, it wasn't his idiotic mission accomplished fiasco. It wasn't being exposed as a flat-out liar when it came to the fact that there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. It wasn't spending $1 trillion in the no-win war against a country that was zero threat to us. It wasn't losing both the House and Senate to the Democrats in 2006. None of that was the worst moment in George W. Bush's presidency. It wasn't even 3,000 Americans dying during the terrorist attacks of 9/11. No, none of that, Bill. Bush didn't find any of those things too terribly distressing when compared against that which Kanye West leveled against him. Kanye West, of course, a notorious black gangster rapper. No, on the Today Show with Matt Lauer, he asked former President Bush what the worst moment of his presidency was. And he said, "Do you remember what Kanye West said about you?" He said, and this is Bush, and I quote, "Yes, I do. He called me a racist." And he went on to say that this was, and again, quote unquote, "the most disgusting moment of my presidency." Kanye West. We could call a racist by people more prominent than Kanye West on a bad day.
The most disgusting point of George W. Bush's career was his inauguration.
Well, again, though, Bill, this is what we're up against. You have people like this who were legitimizing the racist label, which was, again, a Marxist construct coined by Trotsky himself. You know, the whole racist moniker is thrown around like confetti. I wrote a whole book about it, Racism Schmacism, my new book. Check it out at racismbook.com, been very favorably reviewed. But, you know, when frauds like Bush go on TV and say that the worst moment of his presidency was when he was called a racist by a black rapper, you know, it really gives credence to the fact that, you know, this is a potent term and that we should be fearful of it, when actually the exact opposite is true. I don't know what more I can add to it than that, but I'm sure you can.
Well, obviously, George Bush has been drinking the Kool-Aid when it comes to the word racism. And I guess he's trying to rehabilitate himself in terms of the media over the Katrina fiasco. And, of course, that had nothing to do with George Bush. It had everything to do with a third world population trying to get by during a national during a natural disaster. And, of course, the reason that Katrina became such a terrible human tragedy is because the blacks in New Orleans failed to evacuate when they were told to do so. But George Bush apparently is going to hang on the cross for this, or he's hanging himself on the cross, because he's trying to find some reason to redeem his presidency, which obviously for white people and for the nation was a disaster. So he's not, he's going to say the same thing that made him the most upset was the fact that he was called a racist by Kanye West. Okay, if you were president of the United States, would you really be wringing your hands over what Kanye West
thought? And he said this on the Today Show.
He said it on the Today Show.
You know, of all places, something, you know, he could grovel in front of a national audience. So, you know, what does Matt Lauer say? You know, Matt Lauer doesn't say, you've got to be kidding me, you know, the day that you got called a racist by a scumbag black rapper was the worst day, you know, was worse than the day when 3,000 Americans were incinerated on your watch, you know. But that's not what he says. Of course, you know, Lauer agrees with him, you know, yes, what can you do to absolve yourself of this white guilt? You know, so again, this is what makes the political cesspool and organizations like the Council of Conservative Citizens so needed and such a unique voice in today's political discourses, because you're not going to get frank and candid common sense commentary like this on any other show. You know, George Bush is an idiot if he really believes that, which surely to God he doesn't. But nevertheless, the fact that he even pretends to is bad enough. And so we're bringing it to your attention here, unlike you'll find on the Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity show.
Well, you know, the thing is that probably John McCain is banging his head against the wall because he didn't think of that.
Hey, wait, what did John McCain do?
You know, he wishes he had part of that whole Katrina franchise where he could bang his head on the floor about racist guilt, you know, even though he was reelected.
What did John McCain do when one of his top, proteges came on our show, with that being Sheriff Paul Bebue of Pinal County, Arizona? What did John McCain do then?
Well, he soiled his Depends. Obviously, he went all over his diaper because there's no, absolutely no tolerance for talking about your own people, the people who vote you into office.
And that's the damnedest thing about these Republicans, Bill, is that 99% of their vote comes from the white middle class. I mean, blue collar, working class, white middle Americans. That's 99% of the Republican Party. And I tell you, as God is my witness, that is the one constituency that they will not, by hook or crook,
by the grace of God,
pander to. Right. They will give you nothing. You know, the only people they pander to are the people who have never voted and will never vote Republican. And the people who do vote Republican, they wish would drop dead. And I don't think I'm being elaborate in my wording there.
Well, certainly John McCain isn't too far from dropping dead himself. So, you know, I mean, I'm saying that because obviously his political career is entirely based on this ability to manipulate the media.
Yeah, but unfortunately,
and to create this false impression that Mexicans are lining up in droves to vote for him, or women or whatever else it is. Yeah, well, this is the foolishness that defined his presidential campaign, is that we can't succeed if we're only relying on white people.
The only bad thing is, and I don't want to live in the past, but J.D. Hayworth made him look good. J.D. Hayworth was trying to hang John McCain out to dry as if John McCain had political cesspool connections. And this was actually, the political cesspool radio program, this very show, was a very major topic of conversation in one of the biggest political news stories in Arizona. We drove a wedge between J.D. Hayworth and John McCain, and J.D. Hayworth found a way to make John McCain look good. But we won't revisit that now. We've got much more to cover tonight. Yeah, that was all covered back in June. Hey, we're live in Nashville. James Edwards and Bill Rowland with the Political Cesspool Radio Program. Rebel Yell! We'll be back right after this.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get
out of this place. All right, everybody, as Billy Idol said, give us a big rebel yell. Back here in the political cesspool, live from Nashville, Tennessee tonight, not from our friendly confines at AM 1380, WLRM Radio. Although, thanks to the marvels of modern technology, Liberty News Radio is getting us out to all of our affiliate stations and simulcasting via the internet as we come to you live tonight from room 419, the Opryland Hotel District of Nashville. Very excited about the show tonight. This is, do, you know, 50 broadcasts a year from the studio, and every once in a while you get to take your show on the road, and we are living it up to the best of our abilities tonight, Bill. And we've got a very special guest now joining us, plucked from the crowd here from Room 419. I'm telling you, folks, listen. Next time the CSCC says they're having a meeting, you got to be there. You're missing out if you're not in this hotel room tonight. And I know we've got thousands of people listening in, driving around. You're listening on the internet. You're driving around in places like Portland. By the way, what happened against the Thunder the other night? I was very disappointed in that overtime loss. And in the defeat of Chris Dudley for governor, you know, I gave him my endorsement. He lost by 5,000 votes out of 1.2 million cast. I really thought he was going to take it. Does anybody here know what I'm talking about?
Not ESPN.
Chris Dudley was a Republican gubernatorial candidate. He got like 600,000 votes. Anyway, neither here nor there. And I forgot the point I was making. It was probably the fact that we're coming from this hotel room and people in Portland are listening. But we got a special guest here, Bill, plucked from the crowd of this hotel room. Who is he?
That would be Kyle Rogers. And, of course, he's a board member of the Council of Conservative Citizens. And, Kyle, a little recap. Oh, you're going to talk about the – give it to us again.
Well, down in Somerville, South Carolina, all of a sudden, all the local networks, every day on the news, they started ranting about the so-called Somerville Confederate flag controversy. Well, what it was, a 50-year-old terminally ill widow who she grew up in the area, moved out of state. She just came back. She bought a house in a black neighborhood, fixed it up, cleaned up the yard, made it the nicest looking property in her neighborhood. And to pay her back, all her black neighbors are harassing her. And she's got an American flag and a Confederate flag on her porch. Well, none other than Aaron Brown, the black radical Somerville City Council member, was organizing this campaign of harassment against her, and got a bunch of, we're operating out of a local black church. He got all these people to sign a petition and then took it to a Somerville City Council meeting and wanted the other white city council members to order her to take this flag down, which they said that they wouldn't do that. And even if they did, they didn't have the power to do it. Well, so this Aaron Brown actually led a protest in front of a private residence. And me and a few other CFCC members from the area, and we only got, they actually took out the permit a week in advance. And the media lied for him. The media, all week long, the media kept saying they were thinking about protesting. And then Thursday evening news, they go, oh, they're protesting Saturday morning. And so they didn't give anyone much time to organize any opposition. But I rounded up a few people and we went out there. And there's a group of guys that came down from Columbia. We ended up with about 25 people with Confederate flags standing in this woman's front yard. And there's about 35 people in Aaron Brown's crowd, which were given free food to come. And then they had two Coca-Cola banners from that they got from a gas station trash bin. And one of them had next to the Coca-Cola logo, it crudely written with a Sharpie, was no Confederate flag. The other one said no Confederate, and then there was a D, and then it stopped. Apparently someone tried to spell flag with a D and then realized they messed up and just stopped writing. And so we're staying there. Well, so this woman that lives there baked cookies. And so she's sitting there with cookies, yeah, with the Aaron Brown and this other guy who apparently is the leader of the Civic Association, the Neighborhood Civic Association, except he lives two doors down, has a big, like, multi-car garage that has collapsed and has goats climbing on it. So he's the leader of the Neighborhood Civic Association who's harassing this woman for having a Confederate flag, and he has a collapsed garage with goats climbing all over it in a residential neighborhood. And so they come up the street singing "We Shall Overcome."
Oh, you got to be kidding.
So we shall overcome this 50-year-old terminally ill widow who's making us feel bad with her Confederate flag. And so we, her and H.K. Edgerton actually came down.
One of Bill's favorites.
So H.K. Edgerton's standing out in the street in a Confederate uniform. And is offering,
I think he lives in that uniform, doesn't he?
And he's offering them free cookies, which Aaron Brown and the other guy had them under. Of course, they were giving them free food themselves. So they wouldn't take any of the cookies. So then they walk by, and there's like two cops. There's actually way more media than cops. There's like two cops on foot and then another cop in a car. When they walk off, the cops walk up with them. Couple of the younger thug types, most of them were elderly from this local church. They were just there for the free food. Couple of young ones stayed behind, and there was a little group of them, like 20 yards up the street one way, and another little group 20 yards up, "Hey, white boys," like yelling profanities and stuff. They go, "If it wasn't for all these cops, you would be doing this, you know, all this profanity, we'd get you." And at this point, there are no cops. The street's really long. The mob has walked far up the street out of view singing "We Shall Overcome." But they're going, "If it wasn't for all these cops, we'd kill you, white
now,
boys."
This is all because a 50-year-old disabled black woman has a Confederate flag.
White woman.
Oh, she was white. I was going to say, that
makes
more sense.
It was a black woman, they wouldn't care.
That makes more sense.
So anyway, of course, the media's there. None of the media mentions. In fact, there was one guy. Most of them stood far away. There was one young guy in a Los Angeles Lakers uniform that actually comes up and is yelling all kinds of profanities. And H.K. Edgerton told him that he wasn't a real Southerner because he was using profanities in front of all these lady folk.
And so leave it to H.K., one of Bill's all-time favorites.
And but anyway, the media actually took pictures of this dork. This dorky-looking young black guy in his Lakers outfit and tried to portray him like he was having a civil, rational debate with H.K. In reality, he was screaming threats and profanities. This is how the media
An Odom jersey or a Bryant jersey?
I have no idea.
That's significant.
So then finally, we wait and wait and wait and wait. Then the crowd comes back going, "Yes, we can! Yes, we can.
It's 2008 all over again.
Aaron Brown, by the way, the ringleader, the black Somerville City Council member, is wearing an Obama baseball cap.
It's getting out of control.
He's at the front of the crowd with an Obama baseball cap. And then the guy with the goats in his yard is in the back riding a golf cart.
Oh, like, what are we talking about on the political set?
In other words, it was a clown posse out there that was
insane clown posse.
Oh, wow.
But
what are we talking about on the political set?
Of course, then the legend grows. There's no way. I mean, if the media would have actually shown this as it was on the news, everybody, black people alike, would have just laughed at them. Of course, naturally,
I'm laughing now. I didn't even see it from the storytelling.
The Columbus Post and Courier article comes out. They did put that we had 25 people, but they put that the Aaron Brown's mob had 70 people.
How many did they really have?
About 35.
Okay.
And, of course, they had much more. We could have had as many people. If we would have had a couple more days advance notice, we could have had more people than they had. Without too much trouble. This is in an area where in a city where the Confederate flag is very popular. I mean, hundreds of people have Confederate flag bumper stickers on their car in this area. But anyway, then Channel 2 comes out and they put 90 people. And then an hour later, the Associated Press comes out. They had 100 people. Each article, each reporter, as their article came out, the number got higher and higher.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, just like the political cesspool, the Council of Conservative Citizens is on the scene wherever injustice is occurring. for European
approval,
where injustice is occurring against European Americans. And Kyle Rogers, CSCC webmaster, with a great recounting of an incident that happened
just a few weeks ago.
Thank you, Batman.
2 weeks ago.
Well, I think.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
When we broadcast remotely, you never know who we're going to pluck from the crowd. You just heard from Kyle Rogers, who is not only a board member of the Council of Conservative Citizens, but also the webmaster of cfcc.org. And he was relaying to you a story in which he took part in Somerville, South Carolina. So we're just going to continue on down the pike tonight. Sitting next to me right now is Derek Black, host of the Don and Derek Black Show. I heard it's been slightly amended in terms of its name, and now it's the Don and Derek Black Show.
Indeed. We decided at some point it was necessary to the old man some credit in the title.
Well, we're going to get to Derek in just a moment. Derek, though, unlike everyone else who is here in just a state of elation, what state of did you say there in, Bill? Hey, rebel yell, everybody. Come on. Everybody's happy to be at this live remote broadcast of the festival tonight. But Derek, unlike everyone else, was studiously engaged in my book. I saw that, Derek.
Yeah. I was looking for information to pull off that I could read on your program. That's what I'm talking about. Right?
Racism, schmacism.
Yeah, I like that. There's not too many people in the country who are willing to talk about racism in a serious manner. You
and
know,
I was polishing up on my Yiddish in the title. So
absolutely. Yeah.
But it's available for sale tonight at racismbook.com. And as Bill Rowland is my witness, I'm not just making this up. This is a letter here that came from a political cesspool fan writing from Muskogee, Oklahoma. You never know where you're going to find listeners of the cesspool. And it reads, "Dear James, your book is excellent in every way. And I have 7 grandchildren that need a copy to help them to prepare for what they will be facing in the dark days to come. Please send me 10 copies." So that comes from political cesspool listener Raymond in Muskogee, Oklahoma. Bill, verify for the audience that I wasn't making that up.
I verified that.
And Raymond, we want to thank you. And the reason I was prompted.
Did he send a check?
Yes, absolutely, he did. and paid in full. And since Derek was reading the book, I thought that would be a great segue for a plug. But Derek, what do you want to talk about tonight? We're not asking any questions tonight. We're just letting people take the mic and take over tonight on the political cesspool. But certainly we want to make mention of the fact that you have an excellent radio program that is also on AM radio down in West Palm Beach, Florida, the Don and Derek Black Show. Give us a little more information about your work.
Yeah, obviously, South Florida, we hold down the fort in South Florida. It's the gateway to the Caribbean, and we, in our broadcast range, we cover almost down to Miami. You can drive the whole length from, well, up to Lake Okeechobee all the way to the coast and then out in a boat and get down to Miami. It's millions and millions of people down there. We have a really wide listener base among the AM audience. I don't know. I think we have some crossover online. Every broadcast, we get callers from Belgium and Oklahoma and California. I don't know. I suspect there's a lot of these people who come over from both of our programs. We both deal with the same kind of issues. It's the fact that they talk about multiculturalism. Anti-white. They absolutely mean anti-white, and that's what you're talking about in your program. All these cases, people get called racist, and they take it seriously. How can they do that, James? How can they take it seriously? And they're called racist when there is a program in the United States that's anti-white. That's what racism is to me. You have affirmative action and immigration policy, and just every aspect of American government is anti-white. It amounts to a genocidal program, if you want to look at it that way. And we're the ones who are called racist?
Yeah, racist for asking to have the equal opportunity to advance our own group interests as everyone else. And it's the most egregious double standard that's in play today in American politics. And we're very thankful to be able to work in cooperation with leaders like Derek and Don Black, who do great work also on the AM airwaves as we do. And one thing I really love about your show, there's a lot of things I love about your show, Derek. And you've had a lot of great guests on, a lot of the same people who've appeared on this show, and you've been kind enough to extend to me an opportunity to come on your program and promote this show and my book. But the thing that the liberals really hate is to be mocked. And I think that this is something that you do on your program far better than what we do even on this show in terms of really getting out the mockery and really making, you know, exposing them as the fools that they are. Talk a little bit more about the infusion of humor that you bring to the Don and Derek Black Show.
Well, we do our best. You know, I have no sense of humor at all. I'm a very real curmudgeon. I hate jokes. I hate funny stuff, you know. But we do have a...
If you ever listened to the show, you'd wonder how that could be.
You'd never know, right? No, we do have a great comedic department, though. We've got great voices, and we've got a great crew that works on that program with us. And because, you know, there's no other way to face it. Like I said before, you're facing anti-white discrimination everywhere, and we're the ones called racist. And there's no other way that you can respond to that other than by mocking these people, because they believe real strongly, they believe very strongly that we are hateful in some way, need to be punished, and all this stuff. And anti-white can only be justified that way. And yet, it's not the case. The case is that whites are discriminated against in this country, and it's worldwide. The only way that you can answer that, such hypocrisy, is by mocking them. And as you said before, the leftists, the typical leftists in the United States, they can't ever see their own hypocrisy. So the only way that you can really reach them is by cutting them down with humor.
And they hate to be mocked because
they take themselves so seriously. These people, they're hypocrites, but they take themselves so seriously, and they feel that I often wonder if they really believe that they're out there doing God's work by cutting down those races, because from my perspective, they're the racists. Do they really believe that that's the worst?
Yeah, I've wondered that. You know, you look at people like Hillary Clinton. Do you think Chelsea went to the inner D.C. public school system? You know,
Absolutely.
There's no way. You know, she went to a gated private school, probably $20,000 a year for you know, kindergarten, and that's, you know, the school she went to. So while they're preaching one thing that we should do, they're practicing the exact opposite. So no, I don't think that they believe their own dribble. But I'll tell you, Derek, between this show and your show, we're starting to make a difference, and, you know, we're certainly making headlines, that much we know for sure. But with the Political Cesspool broadcasting each Saturday night, the Don and Derek Black Show
every weekday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern,
Monday through Friday, and even though it's based on a local AM station in West Palm Beach, Florida, it is readily accessible to a worldwide audience via the internet. So, Derek, plug the flagship station, how people, if they're tuned in tonight in the Miami area, can tune into you, but also how people, if you like the cesspool, you'll love the Don and Derek Black Show, they can tune in online.
Yeah, they can get all of our archives at WPBRIRadio.com. So it's WPBRIRadio.com. Or go to stormfront.org, which is the home side, the home ship that funds us, where we get all of our listener-supported fans. And go out there and get all the audio archives of the program, the Don and Derek Black Show. I know we're finishing up here. I think the most important thing, and that's the whole purpose of AM radio, is to talk about the issues. And I don't think that there's anything else in America that's more important than what you and I talk about on these radio programs on a week-to-week basis. Whites are discriminated against. They have there's no recourse for them other than to be called racist. And the best way that we can answer that is by talking about it, is by pointing out hypocrisy, is by mocking them when that is the right thing to do, and by being there, because people are so afraid of being called racist when they're the ones who are being attacked as a group. There's nothing else for it other than to let them know that there are people out there who are going to talk about it, who are going to bring it up, and who aren't going to back down. And that's your job, that's my job, and that's all the listeners' jobs, too.
That's so eloquently put, Derek, and that is why the Political Cesspool is the Political Cesspool. We have guests on like Derek Black. This is why we've been able to carve such a name for ourselves and establish such a renowned reputation, is because we bring to the audience's attention the true leaders out there of paleoconservatism and of the people who are defending the founding stock of this nation. Derek Black is certainly at the cutting edge of that group, and we're thankful to be able to work in league with him, and we're very proud to have him on our show tonight. So, folks, if you're in South Florida, tune him in. And if you're on the internet, tune him in. Yeah, he's there. He's there both ways, any way you please.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you, James. And it's great to be here in Nashville, Tennessee, and see you in person. That only happens a couple of times a year.
And we're thankful for each and every one of those opportunities. I'm now shaking the hand of Derek Black live. This is radio, not television, so you can't see it. Although,
we've got the Political Cesspool. You know, I tell you what, we got to get a video here. The Political Cesspool video project with YouTube.
You turn into WPBR, you can watch us live.
Derek is on the
James Edwards, he's a little bit behind in the technology. But we have our, you can see us standing there looking at a microphone for hours.
That's right. They're standing there looking at the microphone and they do it. And I've watched it, and it looks good. So now we've got to catch up with the times. We're trailblazers and pioneers in some regards, Derek and others. And
well,
together we got
it
all coming.
It's those times when speaking just doesn't do it. When you've got to gesticulate, you've got to put your hand in the air, because it's just it's crazy enough that you have to raise your arm to really emphasize it.
We got 30 seconds left to break, ladies and gentlemen. But don't despair. We've got a full hour still to come.
Woo!
2 hours down.
Yeah!
One to go! Everybody. 1 hour left to go in the Political Cesspool tonight, and we're going to cover a lot more ground. You've heard from a lot of great guests.
There's
more to come.
Godspeed, James.
Good luck and Godspeed to you also, Derek. 100 people crammed into room 419 here at the Opryland Hotel. Oh, I'm sweating. It's getting hot, guys. We've got to turn on the air. We're going to come back right after this on the Liberty News Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Believe it or not, there's a third hour of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
They call the ride.